Proverbs chapter 1 and beginning with verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtly to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels, to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Praise the Lord. Let's ask God to talk to us here tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, God, for the power and the answers, the wisdom of your word tonight. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. I pray that you'd help us to receive your word, Lord. I pray that you would change us, help us to be more like you, God. I pray that you'd minister in the needs that are here, that your word would go forth and work. God, that there would be fruit, that there would be a great response in this house, Lord, and that we would allow you to minister and work in us. We give you the praise for it right now in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. What if God were to tell us, hey, you can have anything at all that you desire. Just ask me for it. What if God were to say that to us? What would we ask for? Think about with me tonight. What would we ask him for? Would we ask him for $1 million? What would you ask him for if he said, I'll give you anything, just let me know what you want? A new house, a new car, to be popular? What would we ask for? Well, there was one guy in the Bible that had that kind of opportunity. Solomon, the son of David, the king of Israel. God said to Solomon, he said, ask what I shall give thee. What do you want? And Solomon asked for God to give him wisdom. God was so pleased that he said, you know what? Not only am I going to give you wisdom, but I'm going to give you everything else that you didn't ask for. We read in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 13 through 14, and I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days. And so Solomon became the wisest man who ever lived. Tonight we are beginning a new series of lessons from the book of Proverbs entitled Seven Secrets from Solomon. Seven Secrets from Solomon. I believe this will be a help to us in many areas of our life. Although they were written about 900 years before the time of Christ, the principles found in the book of Proverbs are absolutely timeless. They will guide any person, regardless of the generation that we're in. They will guide us to success in life. You see, there's a lot of people that they go through life without much of a game plan. They just kind of take it day by day and one day at a time, trying to figure out what to do as they go and until they reach a barrier or come up against some type of crisis. And until that time, they really don't think about consulting the owner's manual, otherwise known as the Bible. But Solomon's ancient book of Proverbs, it contains so much wisdom that's just waiting to be discovered. And much of it is definitely so secret to this world. But for those who will read this book, they will find that the more we read of the Word of God, the more we read in books like Proverbs, that there will be a change, a gradual change in our thinking, and our mind will be transformed and it'll be renewed, and we'll no longer respond automatically to situations with human reasoning, but we'll learn to control our tongue. We'll learn to control our thoughts, learn to control our appetites. And what better book is there to read than the book of Proverbs? Since there's 31 chapters. There's 31 chapters, and so you can designate the reading of one chapter a day, each day of the month, depending on which day of the month it is. You can read the chapter that it corresponds to. And so I'd like to challenge us to do that here at Harvest. And do that here this next month or two. Read a chapter a day in the book of Proverbs, depending on whichever. I think it's the 18th today, so you'd read Proverbs chapter 18 today. And I believe if we will do this, that the wisdom of this book will begin to seep deep into our minds and into our hearts, and we'll be transformed by the wisdom of God and written by the wisest man who ever lived. Amen. So you're ready tonight. We're going to begin this next several weeks looking at the seven secrets from Solomon. We read in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 2 through 4, the purpose of Solomon in writing Proverbs. He said it was to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. Godly wisdom is the key that everybody needs. Everybody needs. In their search for everything else in life, godly wisdom is the answer. When we have wisdom, other things tend to fall into place. Problems tend to work out. Money, friendships, our work, our thoughts, our words, all of those things tend to fall into place when we have wisdom. So we need to wise up today. That's the first secret of Solomon that we're looking at tonight, is wise up. Turn to somebody and tell them, hey, you need to wise up. Solomon said that the key to really having it all is to wise up. We read in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7 through 8, that wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Verse 8, exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. Another translation says it kind of like this. Says getting wisdom is the wisest thing that you can do. And whatever else you do, develop good judgment. If you prize wisdom, she will make you great. Embrace her and she will honor you. Well, what is wisdom tonight? What is wisdom? If we're asking God for wisdom, we kind of need to know what wisdom is. First of all, we have to realize wisdom is not knowledge. Wisdom is not knowledge. We're having an explosion of wisdom in our world today, or explosion of knowledge in our world today. There's a lot of information out there. There's a lot of people that are doing a lot of study of information. But can I say it tonight? There's a whole lot of educated, well, the Bible calls them fools. See, we can have a lot of degrees and not make any sense. Have you ever met somebody like that? No, you know, I don't. They may have a high IQ, but they're not very wise. Wisdom is not intellect. Wisdom isn't knowledge. It's not even necessarily common sense. It's much more than that. On a side note tonight, it's good to have my mother and father-in-law here, one of the things that my father-in-law has said quite frequently to my wife as she was growing up and even continuing today is, common sense is not very common. Isn't that the truth? Common sense really is not very common today. But wisdom goes even further than common sense. Webster's Dictionary defines wisdom as an accumulated philosophical or scientific learning. The ability to discern inner qualities and relationships, good sense or judgment, a wise attitude, belief, or course of action. So that's the official definition of wisdom. But in relating to the wisdom that we're asking God for, godly wisdom, I heard a great definition, and I'd love to share it with you tonight. It's It's this: wisdom is seeing and responding to life from God's perspective. Seeing and responding to life from God's perspective. I think that's a pretty great definition. The problem that most of us have is we don't always respond to life from God's perspective. We respond from our perspective. And we can only see so much. We can only see down the road so far. We can only understand so much. But God is all-knowing, and He is seeing our life, and He is seeing the future, and He sees the past, and He knows where we are, and He knows what's coming around the next bend. And so if we can learn to have godly wisdom, then we can look at things from God's perspective, and He can give us wisdom about things that ordinarily we would not know ourselves. In fact, Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12 tells us, "There's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." We don't always see things from God's perspective, but we see it as we see it. Have you ever heard someone just kind of brush off godly counsel and they say, "Well, you know what, I'm just going to do what I want to do. I'm going to do what I think is right." Well, the Bible says that's kind of dumb to do. Because our natural inclination is, it's normally wrong. We're thinking with our flesh. We're thinking with human ability. There's a way that seems right to a man, but it leads to a dead end. There's a lot of people living dead-end lives because they're not wise, but they're leaning to their own understanding. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." That's what we need here tonight. We need to trust in the Lord. We need for Him to direct our paths, for Him to show us the way to go. Trust in the Lord and acknowledge Him. Praise the Lord. So for the purpose of this lesson, we want to remember the definition of godly wisdom is seeing and responding to life from God's perspective. Turn to somebody else and tell them, "Hey, you need to wise up." Let's look tonight at the benefits of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 13 through 18, it says, "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof more than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her." So first of all, we have the promise of happiness. And it says, "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom." It goes on to say that it's better than silver. It's more valuable than fine gold. It's more precious than rubies. And out of all the things that we could desire in this world, none of them can compare to wisdom. What are some of the benefits? Well, it says length of days is in her right hand. Wisdom can bring long life. In her left hand is riches and honor. Wisdom can make our life pleasant, and it can help us have peace. It says wisdom is a tree of life. And again, it says, "Happy is everyone that retaineth wisdom." I want to tell you, that's a pretty decent benefits package right there. If we can have wisdom, there's going to be a whole lot of things that come along with wisdom. Not wisdom from this world, but Lord, help us to have godly wisdom. Help us, God, to think like you think. Help us, God, to perceive like you perceive. God, help us to act like you would act, to have godly wisdom. I want to tell you, this is it, folks. This is what we're looking for. This is what people spend their whole life looking for and searching for. This is what they're trying to obtain: long life and wealth and honor and pleasure and security and safety and happiness. That's everything that everybody wants. God's word tells us all these things are wrapped up in learning to be wise. Maybe we're sitting here tonight, we're not really convinced. How can godly wisdom give me all these things? Well, let's look tonight. How can God promise a longer life if we're wise? Think about it. When we're wise, it reduces the stress. We have healthier habits. We'll have fewer accidents. It helps us live longer. We'll take better care of our bodies because we're wise. I recently read of an insurance report that said that people that regularly go to church at least once a week, they live on average 6.7 years longer than people who don't. Hey, godly wisdom gives you long life. Thank the Lord. How can godly wisdom make me healthy? Or I'm sorry, make me wealthy? Well, how would you like to have God as your financial planner? How would you like God to manage your finances and your investments? I want to tell you, He knows what the best investments are. He knows what the stock market's going to do tomorrow. He knows what it's going to do next week or next year. And we're going to be looking at managing money and managing wealth as a part of these lessons, but from the book of Proverbs. But I want to tell you, when you trust in the Lord with your finances, that's the best investment that we can make. And I believe God can give us wisdom in our earthly finances as well. How can wisdom bring honor? We all want to be honored. Wisdom helps us not put our foot in our mouth as often. Amen. Wisdom helps us to know the right thing to do in situations where we'd be at a loss without the Lord. Wisdom provides the answer where there doesn't seem to be an answer. Pleasure, living according to God's wisdom, makes life a whole lot easier. Most of the problems we face in life, they come about because some poor decisions somewhere. When we have godly wisdom, it eliminates a lot of those problems and those things that we brought on to ourselves, and life gets a whole lot more pleasurable when we're wise. Security follows wisdom. Godly wisdom will help make our life safe, not only because we make better decisions, but because there's a sense of security. There's a confidence, there's a peace of mind that only comes from trusting in the Lord. Solomon asked God for wisdom, and God said, everything else that you could ever want, it is wrapped up in wisdom. He asked for the right thing. Wisdom is the key to life. It's the key to success. It's the key to happiness. Wisdom is the key. I'll tell you, we've got to get wisdom, godly wisdom. So we're going to embark on this journey tonight to find godly wisdom. Whenever you're going to start on a journey, you need to know where you're starting from. So where do we start? Where does wisdom begin? Well, Proverbs 9 and 10 tells us, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's where we've got to begin tonight, okay? We're starting here at the beginning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. When is it right to have fear? When is it good to have fear? There's far too many today that are struggling with fear. And you can study out all the different types of fears that you can have. I don't recommend you do that, actually. You'll start developing some fears you never knew existed. But there's the fear of spiders. There's the fear of the dark. Yeah, there's the fear of tight spaces. There's the fear of heights, the fear of water, the fear of flying. There's the fear of people. There's the fear of being alone. Have I touched anybody yet with a couple of those maybe? Some of you are like, you have me right from the spiders. And we know from the Word of God that God hasn't given us the spirit of fear. Amen? 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God does not want us to be incapacitated with fear. We're not supposed to fear man. We're not supposed to fear the things of this world. We're not supposed to fear persecution. We're not supposed to fear the devil, but we are supposed to fear the Lord. We are supposed to have a righteous fear of the Lord. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, it says, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Luke 12 and 5, "But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him." We are supposed to fear of the Lord, have the fear of the Lord. What is the fear of the Lord? Are we supposed to go around in literal terror, not able to make it through life, thinking that God is there watching us at every moment, waiting for us to make a mistake, and he's going to strike us with lightning as soon as we do, that he's going to destroy our life at the drop of a hat? I don't believe that's the type of fear that we need to have. But the fear of the Lord is a reverent awe. It's an understanding and a submission to his power. It's realizing his majesty and his holiness and his awesomeness. And there's a reverence that goes along with the fear of the Lord. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's sons, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged." Yes, I want to fear the Lord our God. True fear of the Lord, it causes us to place our faith and our trust in him alone. Think with me tonight about the Israelite people. They were there being chased by the Egyptian army, and they crossed over the Red Sea on dry ground, and then the Lord destroyed the Egyptian army. Those Israelites, they feared the Lord. His power and his majesty was evident before them. They saw it before their very eyes that day. They feared the Lord. We are to have a confident hope and trust in God. And when we fear God, we will live a life of obedience to his word. When we fear the Lord, we'll say no to sin. Come on, some of us, we need to get back to an old-fashioned fear of the Lord. There's a fear of the Lord that we need to have that says, you know what, I don't want to sin, and I don't want to mess up, and I don't want to displease God. I don't want to be out of the goodness and the protection and the hand of the Lord upon my life. I fear that. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 declares, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." Anyone who is content to live a life of sin, they do not really have a righteous fear of God. Psalms chapter 36 and verse 1, it says, "The transgression of the wicked saint saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes." We need to get back to an old-fashioned fear of the Lord, and that is going to affect how we live and how we act and what we do. In Acts chapter 9, verse 31, we read, it says, "Then have the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied." So there's a direct link here between the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Ghost. How many of you want the comfort of the Holy Ghost in your life? I want to tell you, there's a comfort that the Holy Ghost brings that this world does not understand because they don't have a righteous fear of the Lord. When you fear the Lord and you put your life in his hands and you lay down to sleep at night and you pray, "God, I pray that you protect my home and I pray that you protect my family," and you go to sleep, I want to tell you, there's a comfort of the Holy Ghost that comes. There's a peace that comes. There's a sleep that comes that you only get when you're laying before the comfort of the Holy Ghost. How many of you remember a day when you didn't have that comfort because you didn't have a righteous fear of the Lord and you were doing the things of the world and you'd lay your head on that pillow at night and, and all the you couldn't, you know, fight against it. When you're awake and during the daytime, you can kind of block out sin and you can block out your mistakes and all the things that are troubling you. But you lay your head on that pillow at night and the trouble starts coming to your mind and all the pain and all the sorrow and guilt and shame because you don't have the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Thank God for that comfort. There's a direct link between the comfort of the Holy Ghost and the fear of the Lord. People who do not fear the Lord, they have no sense of His presence. They have no sense of His grace, of His protection, of His power, and they're truly out there on their own. But those who fear God and keep His commandments, they have safety. They have the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Praise the Lord. What are some other scriptures on the fear of the Lord? Proverbs 10:27. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Proverbs 14:26-27. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and His children shall have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Proverbs 15:16. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. I'll tell you, there's truth in that scripture right there. I'd rather have a little with the fear of the Lord than have great treasure and all the trouble that goes along with that and not have the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Proverbs 15:33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Proverbs 16:6, by mercy and truth iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord men depart from evil. How many of you remember that day that you were under conviction of the Holy Ghost? You came to a church service perhaps and the preacher was preaching and you felt those flames of hell reaching for your soul and you were convicted in your spirit and you came to an altar and you departed from evil, you repented from evil because there was a fear of the judgment of the Lord. Proverbs 19:23, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. Thank God. Proverbs 22:4, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Proverbs 23:17, let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Sometimes we're living for God and we're being faithful to Him and not doing the things of the world. We've rejected sin and we're living holy and separated from the world. And every once in a while, the enemy will come and he'll put a little thought in there and say, look across the street at your neighbor. Look at that new boat that they just bought. Look at all the toys and the four-wheelers and the... Now, I'm speaking from a guy's perspective here, okay? Look at all this that they seem to be blessed with, and yet on Sunday you're headed to church and they're out getting their boat ready to go to the lake. And they don't have they have no thought for the things of God. And the enemy will kind of put a little thought that, man, don't you wish you could have that? Well, you know, why aren't you blessed like that? And why don't you have this? And why don't you have that? But this scripture says, let not thine heart envy sinners. I want to tell you, there's something that's worth more, all the toys that this world can provide. There's something worth more, all the success that this world can give. I want to tell you, this world is going to pass away and the lust thereof and all the things of this life that are so important to people. But there's some things that the fear of the Lord are going to drive deep into our hearts. And we're going to have eternal salvation. We're going to live with the Lord forever and ever and ever. And this moment in time that we're living in, it's not going to amount to anything over there. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We start on the path to wisdom by putting God first, by putting Him in His rightful place in our lives. Not after everything else. Not where He gets the leftovers. Not at the bottom of our list of priorities. But first, the fear of the Lord is really the respect of the Lord. It's the reverence of the Lord. And when we have a proper reverence and a proper respect for God, we put Him absolutely first in our lives. Praise the Lord. Remember tonight, we're talking about seven secrets from Solomon. And the first one is to wise up. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. So after the fear of the Lord, what else do we need to do to develop wisdom, godly wisdom? If we really want to develop godly wisdom, remember our definition for wisdom is to be able to see and respond to life from God's perspective. So in order to do that, we need to know how God thinks. We need to know what He says about things. We need to know what He wants us to do in certain situations. And the best way to learn that is to have a real understanding of the Word of God, to understand His Word and what He commands us to do and what He tells us to do in certain situations. And so if we want to develop godly wisdom, we've got to spend time reading and studying and memorizing and meditating on the Bible. The Bible. Praise the Lord. God forbid that our Bible just be something that we use in church service a time or two or three a week. God forbid that our Bible have so much dust on it that, you know, we haven't used it in a while. And God forbid that we just rely on our cell phone. Hopefully you've actually got a good old Bible that you can highlight and make notes and carry around. And amen. I tell you, the world has all sorts of wisdom. Worldly wisdom. And so there's two sources of wisdom. There's the Word or the world. The Word or the world. Which source of wisdom are we listening to? We get our understanding of life from one or two places. It's either from what God says or what the world says. Can we be honest today? There's a lot of people in our world. They're full of worldly wisdom. And we can't even understand hardly where they're coming from. Some of the things that I hear said in the media and politicians and all, some of the things I hear them say, I'm thinking, it's like you're speaking a foreign language. And they are. Because they're operating under worldly wisdom. We'll either get our understanding from what God says or from what the world says. I tell you, the world will tell us all kinds of contradictory things. How many of you believe everything you hear in the media? Okay, good. or read on the internet or on Facebook. If it's on Facebook, it's true, right? That's why do we spend more time listening and reading things that we don't always believe than we do reading something that we can always absolutely believe? Help us, Lord, if we spend more time on Facebook than we do reading His Word. Read the Word of God. Study the Word of God. It's the owner's manual for life. Hey, when in doubt, you got to read some instructions. Okay? How many of you tried to put something together and you thought, I'm just going to make it on my own. I think I know where this piece fits and I know where that screw goes. And then all of a sudden, okay, wait a second. Where's the instructions? Hey, we've made a mess of stuff long enough. When in doubt, let's get back to the instruction book. Let's get back to basics. Hey, I've got to have godly wisdom. If we want to be wise, we've got to get into this book. Don't go another day trying to make it on your own, but let's get back to the instruction book. Secondly, when we spend time in prayer, we develop a relationship with God. How can we develop a relationship with someone if we're not willing to talk to them? We might be the shyest person on the earth, but at some point, we're going to have to learn to talk to that person if we want to have a relationship with them. If we're going to have a relationship with God, we can't expect to truly do that and never have time in His presence. We can't expect to do that if we don't spend time talking with Him, to where we pour out our life to Him and we share the good things that have happened and the struggles that we're going through. And we talk to Him as a friend would talk to one another. And I tell you, there's no one better to talk to than the Lord. There's no one better to take your troubles to than the Lord. Amen. You can take your troubles to one another, but the fact is we're all limited. But when you take them to God, that's the one that He really understands who we are, and He knows what we're going through. And after all, He has the power to change situations. He has the power to change people. And if He doesn't do all that, He has the power to change us so that we can deal with the situation. Amen. When we learn to talk to Him and when we learn to recognize His voice as it's speaking to us, then we truly can have communication with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we get to know His Spirit, and we get to know what He likes and know what He doesn't like and what He wants us to do in life. We become led of His Spirit instead of led of our flesh. Help us, Lord. We're entering to a time here. Holidays are coming up. It's a busy time. January is going to be Spiritual Emphasis Month, and we're going to be having fasting and prayer throughout the month of January. Very excited about some plans and things that we're going to do. I want you to be preparing for this. We don't do this all the time, but we just take a special month and say, hey, we're going to put an extra special emphasis on our spiritual attributes and prayer and reading the Word of God and fasting. And so I'm very excited about this. And each year, those of you that have participated in fasting, you know it's not an easy thing to do. Nobody likes to fast, I don't think. But you can tell a difference. You can tell a difference in the services. You can tell a difference in people. Generally, if you start fasting in prayer, there's going to be a few little demons that pop their heads up. You know, that usually happens when there's fasting in prayer. It starts stirring stuff up in the spirit. Amen. But I can tell you, the years that we've done that, there's been such a surge spiritually. You can feel it in our prayer, in our worship, in the preaching of the Word. And so I'm looking forward to that. But don't wait until January to pray. Don't wait until January to start reading the Word of God. Amen. You better start reading Proverbs this month. But do more than that. Amen. Don't wait till January. It's foolish for us to live our life ignoring the One who made us. I tell you, we were made for His purpose. He has a plan for us. We don't always understand what it is, but God has a plan for us. And we don't need to live our life ignoring the very One that made us, that created us. Amen. God forbid that we neglect to spend time with Him, reading His Word and spending time with prayer so that we can know Him. I tell you, we've got to know Him. We've got to know His will for our lives. We've got to understand His Word. Why is it that people make foolish financial decisions? Why do people get into marriages that are doomed from the start? Why do people start habits that they know will eventually kill them? Why do people put more on their schedules than they can handle? Why do people buy things, you've heard it said, that they don't need, with money they don't have, to impress people they don't even like? Why do people fail to prepare for death when we all know that unless the Lord returns, we're all going to eventually die? Why do people put off salvation when God offers so much to us that will bless our lives? Why? Proverbs sums all of these questions up with one answer. It's a lack of wisdom. A lack of wisdom. When we lack wisdom, we make some pretty stupid decisions, and then we have to face the consequences. God help us to have wisdom. Amen. Once again, Proverbs 9 and 10 tells us, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Another translation says it like this, for the reverence and fear of God are basic to all wisdom. Knowing God results in every other kind of understanding. So fearing God means that we take Him seriously. I want to tell you, this God that we serve, He's not just this big brother upstairs somewhere. He's not just the big buddy in the sky. God's not our co-pilot. He's not co-anything. I want to tell you, God is in charge. He is the one. Amen. There is none beside Him. Amen. He is the Almighty. He is the Creator. He is the one that holds this earth in His hands. He is the God of heaven and earth. We are to fear Him. We are to reverence Him. We're to take God seriously. Praise the Lord. The last part of Proverbs 9 and 10 says, the knowledge of the holy is understanding, or knowing God results in every other kind of understanding. Let me ask us here tonight, do you know God? Do you really know God? Not do you know about God, but do you know the Lord? Knowing God is more than just knowing facts about Him. Knowing God is more than just believing that God exists. The Bible says the devils believe and tremble, but you're not going to find them in heaven. So it takes more than just believing. There's got to be something that we do. It's more than just knowing about Him. We have to have a personal relationship with Him. And so let me ask you, how is your Bible study? How is your time in the Word of God? And how is your prayer life? If we want to have wisdom, we've got to know the Lord. We've got to spend time with Him. We've got to learn His Word. We've got to learn to recognize His voice. And I believe part of that becomes from being faithful in our attendance to church and receiving teaching and preaching from the Word of God. And we need interaction with other Christians. We learn and we grow from being around those who walk in the Lord. Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Proverbs 13:20 tells us, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. If we want to be wise, we can't be the companion of fools. We need to be walking with the wise. Amen. Tell somebody else, wise up. Wise up. Tonight, there's two types of wisdom. There's worldly wisdom, and there's wisdom from the Word. I want to challenge us over the course of these seven lessons from the Secrets of Solomon to apply godly wisdom in our lives. We're going to look at a variety of areas and teaching from Proverbs, teaching from the wisest man that ever lived, but it all starts with seeking godly wisdom. And then what is wisdom if we don't put it to work? We need to do what God leads us to do. And so I want to challenge you to let God speak to you from His Word and then actually do what His Word tells you to do. Proverbs chapter 7, verses 1 and 2 says, my son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. In other words, don't forget what my word tells you to do, but do what it says and you will live, and be careful to follow it. You know something? This word, this book, the wisdom that is here, the answers that are here, it's worthless to us if it just sits on our coffee table. Even if we just read it, we're not getting out of it what God intends for us to have. If we don't apply it in our life, then we've totally missed the wisdom that God has for us. I want you to think tonight that suppose we were to take a trip and go to Russia. I don't really want to go to Russia. It's not on the top of my travel list, but let's imagine that we were to go from here to Russia. Most likely that flight would take us up over the Arctic cap, because that's the shortest distance to get there. Okay, so let's just assume that we're on this flight and we're flying over the Arctic, and all of a sudden something happens and the plane loses power. God forbid, but just imagine. And so as we're on the way down, the stewardess comes by and she's handing out these little booklets. And so in the midst of all the confusion and the yelling, we look at the booklet and it says, "How to Survive in a Snowstorm." That's a good thing to know if you're going to be headed to the Arctic. And so let's say that the plane goes down and by some miracle we all make it, okay? We all make it. And we've got our book, and so we head out into the Arctic. And we're feverishly reading our book about how to survive in a snowstorm. If we don't put that book into action, we could have memorized every page. But if we don't put that book into action, we're still going to freeze to death. I want to tell you, there's more to wisdom than just understanding a little bit about the Bible. There's more than coming to service after service and hearing the Word of God preached and feeling the presence of God tugging at our hearts and knowing what it takes to be saved. There's more to it than that. If we memorize this whole book right here, but we never put it into action, and we never do what the pages tell us to do, we're still going to die lost. God help us not only to love this word, to love the wisdom of this word, but God help us to put it into action. Help us to be willing. Sometimes when we read this word of God, there'll be something jump out of us and it'll cut our heart. It'll cut us and it says, "Ooh, I've got an area that I need to improve on, and there's something there that something's not right in my attitude and something's not right in my spirit, but God help us to make a move upon that word of God, that wisdom of God." I wonder if you'd stand with me tonight. James chapter 1, verse 22. It says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." There's a lot of people deceiving themselves. They come to church and they worship with the praise team and they sit and hear the preaching and they feel the Spirit of God, but when they walk out, they lose whatever they felt by the time they make it to their Sunday afternoon lunch. They don't apply what they've learned, what they've heard. We've got to apply this book in our life. We've got to use the wisdom that God gives us. And that's what helps us to be a wise person. So what is it tonight that God's Word is leading you to do? Sometimes you can be here preaching that's on a totally different subject, but the Word of God will minister to a certain area in life. How many times have I been preaching and not preaching anything about healing, but just the fact that you're preaching the Word of God and it goes forth and God honors His Word, somebody would be healed. Or somebody would be delivered, or somebody would receive the Holy Ghost, and maybe it was just a Bible study and we really didn't even teach on the Holy Ghost, but the Word of God went forth and the wisdom of the Word of God was evident and somebody responded by faith and all of a sudden God made a connection with whatever it was that they needed. So what is it that godly wisdom would lead you to do tonight? I don't know what it might be. Perhaps God is dealing with you to go to another level in your commitment to God. Maybe God's calling you to a certain area of ministry. Maybe God's calling you to teach Bible studies and be a part of soul winning. I don't know exactly what it is, but I tell you this, if godly wisdom is leading us to do that, then we need to answer the call and we need to be willing to do what God is leading us to do. Remember our homework assignment. Read one chapter a day of Proverbs for at least the next month so you can get all the way through the book of Proverbs, whatever chapter corresponds to the day of the month. Praise the Lord. I wonder tonight if we would be willing just to gather around this altar and ask for God to let that wisdom be applied to our life. Come on, we need wisdom. If we're going to deal with the situations that we're dealing with, we need wisdom. We need wisdom on the job. We need wisdom in our families. We need wisdom in our finances. We need wisdom in relationships. God, help us to have wisdom. Lord, you see the things that we're searching for tonight, the things that we're looking for. I pray, God, that you would help us to find the answers through wisdom tonight. In Jesus' name. Lord, let us start with the fear of the Lord. Let us start with a proper reverence and respect of your presence, God. Lord, I don't want to casually just brush off the anointing. I don't want to casually just brush past the moving of your Spirit, God, but help me to have a righteous fear of your presence, a fear that I'm going to disappoint you, Lord, a fear that I'm going to step out from your grace and your anointing and protection, Lord. I pray that you'd help us to start right now with the fear of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, God, I pray that you'd help us to put our trust in you. Don't let our faith stand in the wisdom of this world, but God, let our faith stand in you, oh God. In Jesus' name, Lord, I pray that you'd speak to us right now. Let there be an old-fashioned rebirth of the fear of the Lord, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. God, I pray that you would give us wisdom about that situation we're facing. Give us the answers, Lord. Give us the words to speak, I pray. Lord, I pray that you would give us the right thoughts. Help us, Lord, to have wisdom about that situation. Godly wisdom, more than the wisdom of this world. Help us to go beyond, Lord, into godly wisdom, to know what we should do, to know what we should say. Oh God, help us to have the favor of your presence upon us through the wisdom of your word. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. God, I pray that you'd help us in our time reading the Word, studying the Word, Lord. I pray that you'd help us to develop a love for the Word of God. Lord, let it be like honey, I pray. Let there be a desire for the Word of God that's birthed in us. Lord, help us in our prayer time. Help us to know you, to know your voice, to recognize the leading of your Spirit, God. I pray that you'd help us to know you, Lord, to receive that wisdom. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to act on it. God, when you lead us through wisdom, I pray that you'd help us to have the desire to act upon your word, to follow the leading of your Spirit, to do what you've asked us to do, God. Help us to step forward with faith. Don't let us be bound by fear, but God, help us to step forward with faith. We give you the praise for it right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Come on, this is the answer tonight. It's what you've been looking for. It's what the world is searching for. It's godly wisdom. It's the answer for riches and safety and security and the blessing and the favor of the Lord. I thank you for it tonight in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. I feel tonight that there's some people that you're needing to make some decisions. You're needing to know what to do. You're needing to know what to say in certain situations. And you've done your best through worldly wisdom and human understanding. I really feel tonight that God's wanting to give some godly wisdom to some people to know what to do in your situation. Amen. To know how much to ask to sell. To know what the right answer is on the job. To I'm saying practical life situations where you need wisdom and you don't know what to do, I feel like God wants to supernaturally give wisdom tonight. How many of you would receive that? If the Lord has a word of wisdom for you to connect you with a miracle or a blessing or whatever it is, I would want to receive that, wouldn't you? Why don't you reach over and link up with somebody next to you and just pray that God would pour out that godly wisdom in their life to give them that answer that they're looking for, to let His Spirit guide us and direct us right now. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we need wisdom from You. Hallelujah, hallelujah.